Here we start here in the bottom of Nun Bed Amud Bed by the Mishnah in the New Perek. Begins, Kol Menachot Ba'ot Matzah. Makes a statement that all Menachot Ka Matzah, we've discussed this before, that when it comes to the Mikdash, there really is no Chametz in the Mikdash. So therefore everything comes Matzah, Chutz, Mechametz Shiba Todah. 10 of the 40 Chalot that are brought with the Todah, 10 of them are Chametz. Ushtei Alechem, which are the Shtei Alechem that come on Shavuot with the Kivsei Atzeret, and those are also chametz. Those are the exceptions to the rule, and they are both chametz. How do they come chametz? Rabbi Meir Omer, Hasor bodalehen mitochan umachmetzan. That you allow the leavening to take place internally. And again, we'll discuss this more in the Gemara later today. And Tosos points out here, the Aruch says, Boda is lashon hotza'ah, comes out from the inside. Keilu bodeh milibo. That you make up in your heart, that you push out. So it happens internally, it happens by itself. That's what Rabbi Meir suggests. Yehud Omer, afhi eina mina mufchar. That's not the best way to leaven bread. Ela mevi et ha-seor. You bring the leavening agent, the yeast, v'noton l'toch ha-mida. You place it inside, u'memalei et ha-mida. And that fills in the isaron that you need. Amr lo, afhi hayta chaseira o yutera. If you do it in that way, you're going to end up having more or less than a isaron. Again, we'll get to that. I'm going to leave this unexplained right now because we're going to hit that at the end of today's daf. The Gemara is going to ask exactly what's going on here and how this works. So now the Gemara asks, "By mine Rav Preda mi Rabbi Ami, minayin l'chol ha-menachot shehein ba'ot matzah." How do you know that all of menachot have to be brought, or the ones that are brought must be brought from matzah? So he says to him, "Minolon." He says, where from? Dechtivba. Those that are written specifically that say that it must be brought matzah, they're written in it. Deloktivba. Those who do not have it explicitly written inside of it. Diva, there it's written, Zot Torat HaMincha. Hakrevota. So this is actually in Perek Vav, in Parshat Tzav. Pasuk Zayin. Zot Torat HaMincha. Hakrevota b'nei Aron lifnei Hashem el p'nei ha-mizbeach. That's the first pasuk. And then the pasuk in between, there's an interim pasuk. The Gemara skips that pasuk, which is pasuk chet. And then pasuk tet is, v'noteret mimeno yochlu aron uvanav matzot te'achel b'makom kadosh b'chatzar u'moed yochlua. So it's really pasuk zayin and tet that the Gemara is quoting over here. So zot Torat HaMincha is a general statement that includes all menachot. And in all menachot it says, matzot te'achel. So you know from here that matzot te'achel, now we know that all menachot come as matzot. So amalei, mitzvah lo kemi bayli. I'm not asking you about for the mitzvah, the best way to do it, the chatchila, that you should do it as matzot. How do you know that that's me'akev? How do you know that you must eat the matzot? Fine, the Torah, we know by kodshim, anytime you mention something once, that means that it's the mitzvah, that's chatchila. You need to mention it twice to be the akev. So amalei, la'akev namiktiv. It also is the akev, the next pasuk, which is pasuk yud, which is lo te'afe chametz. So that's it. We have two statements. One statement is matzot te'achel. The second one is lo te'afe chametz. You put those two together, I have an equal that it must be brought from matzah. So now we have two questions on this formulation. They're separate. You have to have a separate limud by Pesach to aser seor from chametz. The bigger question is actually that there's an upcoming Mishnah that says it explicitly and brings a different source for all this. Tosos discusses that over here in Minayin L'chol Menachot Shein Ba'ut Matzah. Tosos discusses why is it that we need two limudim. There's a limud here in our Gemara. The next Mishnah Nun Hei is going to have the same question and a different limud. Why do we need multiple limudim? It's not so clear. Tosos doesn't really have a good answer why we need multiple limudim. All right, so that's a good question. Right now, the Gemara is about to deal with that. Maybe there's something in between, which is that you have assumed, and that's really what the next question in the Gemara is, you've assumed that there's chametz and matzah, and in between, there's just this line, and either you cross from chametz to matzah. But what we're going to discuss now is that there's this gray area that sits between chametz and matzah, and it's not so clear. So that's what the Gemara is going to deal with over here. All right, let's say that when it says in the Torah, lo tafeh chametz, how do you know that when you don't eat chametz, that is automatically matzah? How do you know? If you can't have chametz, then it is matzah. He says it there's this status in between, which is called Se'ur, which is really something in the early stages of fermentation. The Gemara in Pesachim discusses this Se'ur. It's Machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda when it's classified as Chametz. Se'ur Deman. That's what Gemara says. What Se'ur are you talking about here? Either Rabbi Meir, if you're talking about the Se'ur, the Rabbi Meir, the Rabbi Yehuda, Matzama Aliyahi. According to Rabbi Meir, the bread becomes leavened or a problem of Se'ur, Chametz, once it's Chisifu Panav, once it's turned pale, that the color of the dough has changed already, that's already makes it into Chametz. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's too early a stage and it's still classified as Matzah. Either Rabbi Yehuda believes, when is it classified as being in the Se'ur? That's when it has Karnei Chagavim, which in the Gemara Pesachim means that it's cracking, it's starting to crack. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's when it's Se'or, the Rabbi Meir Chametz Malyu. According to Rabbi Meir, that's already Chametz. So either Rabbi Meir, so let's say it's in Rabbi Meir, Li Rabbi Meir. According to Rabbi Meir, who says that this Se'or is problematic once it has Hichsifu Panav, let's say that that's what we're talking about over here. It says, Midaloki Ale, he says that that's included from the Pasuk called Chol Machmetzet Lo Techelu, and therefore you get Malkot on it, then therefore Chametzu. It's definitely Chametz, it's classified as Chametz. Elad Rabbi Yehuda, Ale Rabbi Yehuda. It must be that we're talking about the Se'or here is in Rabbi Yehuda's position itself. So what you have here is really different stages of what is classified as Chametz. You have Matzah, totally Matzah. If on the other hand you have Chametz Gamur. Remember their day that they didn't have ready-made yeast like we did. The way they created yeast was one of two ways. Either they took dough, regular dough, they let it sit out and ferment, and it turned into a leavening agent, or they used sugar and water and they let it sit out and capture yeast from cells from the atmosphere, which took a long time. But over here we're talking about dough that's being left and is beginning that process of fermentation to become a leavening agent in yeast. So along that spectrum, there is matzah on one end, which is fine. On the other end of that spectrum is chametz, legamrei, which is problematic. And in between you have this seur. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda give us those markers along the way. Rabbi Meir starts off when hechsifu panav, when it already changes colors, it's become more pale, the dough, that's already an indication that the fermentation process has begun and it's already reached the point of chametz. How far of chametz? Because he says you get malkot on that. That's called machmetzet lo techelu. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says that's not enough to be chametz, that's matzah ma'alyu. You could eat that on the Seder night, that's matzah. When does it reach that point of being se'ur? It's only when it starts to crack. I mean, it hardens and starts to crack. That's already considered to be se'ur, what we would otherwise known as chametz nuksha. Chametz nuksha in the Gemara in the Pesachim is hardened chametz. So the Gemara says, okay, according to Rabbi Meir, we can't use it here according to Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda thinks that's matzo. Rabbi Yehuda's position to Rabbi Meir is already chametz. It's past the point. He says that already chichsifu panav is kol mechmez lo techelu. You get already to the point where Rabbi Yehuda says it's cracking. Rabbi Meir says that's kores, that's chametz. So they can't be looking at each other's position. So let's look internally in their position. Rabbi Meir's position, you can't say that because Rabbi Meir believes you get malkot. Once it starts to change colors, it's already malkot. It has some status of chametz, whatever that is, because you get malkot for that. Tosfos asks the question, look, you don't get karet for it. So if you don't get karet, it can't be full-fledged chametz. It's still some sort of chametz in the middle. So he has to say over here that there must be some restriction within Todah and Shtei Alechem that you can't. He goes, there must be some riboy somewhere that you can't have chametz muksha by this. That's Tosfos' position. Then we say, no, it must be Rabbi Yehuda internally. Rabbi Yehuda internally believes that once it starts to crack, it's problematic, but he does not have a limud in the Gemara Pesachim to give you malkot for it. So it's restricted, but there is no malkot, there is no karet, so it's not chametz gomor. So basically, what we're going to say now is, you have a statement in the Menachot, which is, lo tefe chametz and motzo te'echel. We thought those were synonymous. If it can't be chametz, it must be matzah. No, along comes Rav Chisda and says, no. Maybe what we're talking about here is, when you say lo tefe chametz, don't make chametz, means, let it become seor. You'll bake it into a little seor, and it's not chametz, but it's also not matzah. It's in this in-between state. And that in-between state will qualify to be not violating lo te'efeh chametz, but on the other hand, it won't be matzo te'achel. So then we don't have an ikuv anymore, because that means the two psukim are speaking about different things. Lo te'efeh chametz doesn't automatically equal matzo te'achel. And now we lost our ikuv. We have a similar type of question. Don't bake it as chametz, but rather chalut. Chalut is to boil it. It would be equivalent like a bagel. Take the dough and boil it. Chalut, my nihu. What's the word chalut in the Torah when it tries to describe putting something into boiling hot water? What is it called? Rivucha. That's rivucha. We have that by the Minchat Chavitim, which is al machavat Hashem and Teasem, murbechet. Then we have the word murbechet. Early on by the other minachot, we have a Minchat Rivucha, which is also this point in boiling hot water. So Gemara says, Ida ika rivucha tivba. Rivucha. If it requires boiling, the Torah says rivucha in it, like we did by the Minchat Chavitim. Vaklo tivba rivucha. Anything that does not have rivucha written by it, then there's no need to make it revucha. You can't say make it boiled in hot water. It doesn't require that. So you have to say, if it's written by it, it tells you you need it. The fact that where it tells you need it means that that's it and nowhere else. So how can you suggest over here that the statement, the broad statement of lo tefeh chametz means don't make it chametz, go ahead and boil it like a bagel, put it into hot, boiling hot water. It says maybe like this. We'll suggest like this. Eima dechtiba revucha, whatever has revucha written in it, mitzvah berevucha, you must do it with revucha. Dolokti berevucha, if you don't have revucha written in it, ibai revucha laiti, ibai matzah laiti. You have a choice. I mean, that'll be the difference. Places where it says revucha, you must definitely bring it as revucha. Places where revucha is not written, you have a choice. It says lo tefeh chametz, so I can't bake it and make it into chametz. But now I have a choice. I can either make it matzah, or I can make it revucha, my choice, whatever I prefer, that I can do. Again, that creates the same problem for us, is that lo tefeh chametz does not equal matzah teyachel. Because you could say, lo tefeh chametz, I can make it into chalut. I can put it in boiling hot water. And that option will not be matzot. That option is not matzot. I, again, do not have an equal that there must be matzot. Because I don't have two statements saying the same thing. I'm a Ravina. Matkifla Ravina. Ravina asks a third question. Ve'ema lo tefeh chametz, le'mekim gavra b'la'av ba'almol. So he says, maybe the restrictions against lo tefeh chametz is that you, the individual, the kohen, may not make it into chametz. But if suwe lo mifsala, who says that that is posel the mincha? If you look at the pasuk only says that lo tefeh chametz chalkam natatu tam yishai. Doesn't necessarily say ruins the mincha, it just says don't eat it as chametz. So that's a law for the individual who consumes it or bakes it and makes it into chametz. But that doesn't mean that the mincha itself must not be chametz. That's the case, again, we're missing an ikuv over here because you don't have a lashon that tells you that it must be in such a manner. Ella minola. So now the Gemara switches its tack and moves back to the parashat HaMenachot that is mentioned in Vayikra. And over there it says, Deitanya, matzah. There it says, and I'll read you the pasuk, Im mincha amachavat karbanecha solit bulla b'shemen matzah tiyah. So the Gemara is now going to darshan the matzah tiyah. The Braita says, the word matzah, yechol mitzvah, I would think matzah means a mitzvah, I mean you have to, it's a nice thing, that's what you should do l'chadchila. Talmud lomar, tiyah. Hakatuv kava chobah. Tiyah is an ikuv, lashon of iyeh, tiyah, lashon of ikuv. So it's matzah, tiyah. So matzah is the lechatchila, the mitzvah, and then the tiyah makes it the ikuv. Yeah, everything, even though it's strange now, because this is only written by Mincha Machavat, so you still have to use Zoturat HaMincha in order to bring it to all the other Menachot. So you're still using that Zoturat HaMincha, so why do you have to use Matzati? Yeah, you still have Matzot Teachel, you still have Lo Tefeh Chametz, if you use one of them along with it. That's what Tosfos is dealing over here with, is that we seem to have too many psukim, or too many limudim over here. I think you could separate between the Mincha itself and the Kohanim, the Shiraim that are eaten by the Kohanim, which would also solve some of the problem. Over here, we're talking about the Mincha itself, whereas over there, you're talking about the Shiraim that the Kohanim have, what they do with their Shiraim, as opposed to the Iker Mincha that's brought, and the Kometz is taken off of it. So that might help in distinguishing between the two different ones. Although, right, over here, Matzah Tiyah is written by Mincha Machavat, and we're still going to have to use Zotorat HaMincha to bring in all other Menachot. But that might be why on Nun Hey, the Gemara brings a different limud for it, because that's much easier. The other limud is much easier to spread to all the other menachot. It's not unique to Minchat Machabat. Nevertheless, we have another question here, which is, by Mine Rabbi Freida mi Rabbi Ami. Same two individuals. But this is the mission that's coming up. That how do you know that all menachot have to be kneaded with warm water? And then you have to protect them from becoming chametz. No medena mi Pesach. Let's learn it out from the Pesach. So over there it says when you make matzot, you have to do shmartem et matzot. So also over here, matzah tiyev, you have to make it into matzah. You have the same requirement of shmira. But you only need shmira if you make it in such a manner that it will turn into chametz. Why do you have to go over there and get it from matzot. We have it here in our actual menachot. It says matzatiyeh. Matzatiyeh hachayeh. Tiyeh means you must ensure, protect it, do a shimur on it so that it remains as matzah. It says hafik de la cave. You just used that before, matzah tiyeh for the cave. So imkein liftov rachmana matzah hi. Like we've seen many times, the word hi is leikuv. So why is it tiyeh? My tiyeh, shma minatarte, then you can learn both things out. Both that matzah is ma'akev. And number two is tiyeh, that you require shimur. You require shimur over the month. So Rashi over here says the shimur is shimur. I know she has silk, but you have to work on the batzek. You have to keep kneading it and not letting it go for a time period. Otherwise, it'll be michametz. Which is interesting in general. When we talk about shimur, legave, matzah, the Gemara Pesachim talks about the shmartim at the matzot, that you have to do shmira, and that's what we call matzah shmura. Over there, it's machloket arishonim, what that means. Does matzah shmura mean that you have to ensure that it does not turn into chametz? You have to. That's the shmira. The shmira is watching it, working the dough, ensuring that it never reaches the point of chametz. Or is shmira that you have to do what we talk about as be the shame mitzvat matzo? That is not, that's shmira for chametz, or is it the shame mitzvat matzo? So over here, maybe you could answer the same thing, that the shmartim here, or the shmira that's required over here, Rashi claims over here it's protected from gomei chametz, because also have a shmira, which is, has to be done, the shame, the mincha, has to be done, the shame, shtei alecha. So yeah, there's two aspects, the same aspects of shmira that apply by matzot of Pesach, where it could be either the shema, or it could be protecting it from chametz, also apply by the korbanot. You have to make the chalot lishma, but you also have to protect them from gomei chametz. So I don't know, possibly that same machlokas that applies by shmartim et ha-matzot, and here the Gemara tried to learn it from there, applies over here, or you could argue it differently. Over there it's shmartim et ha-matzot, here they learn it out from tiyeh, maybe it could be mechalek between them, or that over there, where it's learned out of the word shmira has a lashon of two aspects to it, both the idea of lishma as well as the aspect of protecting chametz. Over here we're using matzat tiyeh, we're using the eco of lashon, it sounds like that it only relates to the aspect of shimur mina chametz. So Amar Elei Rabbanon Le Rabbi Fredo. So now the Rabbanon said Rabbi Fredo, Rabbi Ezra Bar Bered Rab Avtolos. Duhu Asri Le Rabbi Elazar Ben Azari. Duhu Asri Le Ezra Kai Abava. This big Chacham has come. His name is Rabbi Ezra, named after his great-great-great-great-grandfather, because he was the grandson of Rabbi Avtolos, who was the 10th generation after Rabbi Elazar Ben Azari, who was the 10th generation of Ezra. He's standing at the doorway. So Amar Elei Michael Lehi, what are you guys making such a big deal about? Ibar Uriyan Hu Yoi. If he's a Talmud Chacham, good. That's good. He can stand on his own. Ibar Uriyan. If he's a Talmud Chacham and he has Yichus as well, great. If he has Yichus and no Talmud Torah, he's not a Talmud Chacham, then a fire can consume him because he came from such good stock and he's not learning Torah, then let the fire consume him. So he says, makes no difference. Is he a Talmud Chacham or not? That's the only thing we care about. Yichus. Ain't no malo, ain't no morid. Amalei Baruyin, who is a Talmud Chacham. Amalei Leo, then he can come in. Veleite, sit down. Chazidah Kira Date. He saw that his mind was not clear. So Potach v'Amar. He says to him some Agarata to warm him up a little bit. He says, Amart Lashem, Adoshem Atat Tovati Balalecha. Amra Knesset Yisrael Lefnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Bnei Yisrael Seder Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Ribono Shelam Chazek Li Tova. You should pat us on the back. Shodaticha Bolam. We spread your name throughout the world. We are your representatives in the world, and we've spread your name throughout the world. Amalei tovati balalecha. My tova that I'm giving you, or mafzik tova, is not coming to you. Any mafzik tova ela Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov shodiani tchila baolam. People who really made me known in the world and started this whole process were Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. Shneamar likdoshim asher baaretz hema vadirei kochevtze bam. So this again, the pasuk. It's in the same parak. It's a continuation there, which is likdoshim asher baaretz hema. That it belongs, the Tova belongs to those Kedoshim Asher Baretz. And who are those? They are Direi, the Adirim. Who are the Adirim? Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, Kochev Tzivam. That's who I desire. Kevin Deshamayei Dekamar Adir. When he heard the word Adir, then it started to warm him up, and he started going on. He's going to do three of these mnemonic devices, which is, Hadech V'amar, Yavo Adir, Ve'ifrad Adirim, Me'adirim Be'adirim. So that's the mnemonic device. Yavo Adir, Zal Kodesh Baruch Hu, Dechtiv, Adir b'marom Hashem. Right, so that refers to the Adir. V'ifra le'adirim, on behalf of the Adirim, who's that? Eli Yisrael, Shneamar, v'adirei kochev tzeibam. So that's the referring to Bnei Yisrael. That's who I want. My desire is with Bnei Yisrael. Madirim, from those that were Adirim, who is that? That's Mitzrayim, Dichtiv. Saluko Feret, B'mayim Adirim, and Azishir. B'Adirim, through the Adirim, is Elumayim. That's the waters. Shinemar, Mikolo, T'mayim Rabim, Adirim, from the sounds of the water. Right? That the Adirim is Breyam, that greatness that breaks the oceans. So you see that Adirim is used by water. So now the meaning of what he said was, Yavo Adir Hashem should come, Yifrale Adirim, and he should take retribution on behalf of Bnei Yisrael. Me'adirim, from the Mitzrim, be'adirim, with water. So the next statement is, Yavo Yadid, Ben Yadid, Vivne Yadid, Li Yadid, Bechelko Shel Yadid, Vitkapru Bo Yadidim. Yavo Yadid, what is that? Zeh Shlomo HaMelech Dichtiv, Vayishlach V'yad Natan HaNavi Bekir Shmo Yadid Yab Avur Hashem. That's in the case after Bathsheba has the second child. And since the Natan and Navi, they call him Yedidya Bavur Hashem. So you see that Shlomo Melch, one of his names was Yadid. So it says Yavo Yadid means come Shlomo should come. Ben Yadid, he's the son of Yadid, meaning he is the descendant of Yadid, Ze Abraham. Dichtiv, and this is from Yirmiyahu, which we'll come back later to speak about, is Met Lididi Biveiti. What is this? What is my beloved doing in my house? The beloved here referring to Avram Avinu, we'll see that later on in the Gemara. Vivye Yadid, he should build the Yadid, Ze Beit HaMikdash, Dichiv. Mayididot Mishkenotecha. You see the word Yedidot used with Mishkenotecha, your dwelling place, Hashem. What's your dwelling place? That is Mishkan Mikdash. So that's referring to the Mikdash. Li Yadid, who is this for? Is the HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dichtiv. Ashirana Lididi. Let us sing and sing praises to Yididi, my beloved, referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bechel Koshi Yadid, Ze Binyamin, Shenemar, and Bidot Bracha, the Binyamin Amar, Yidid Hashem Yishkon Levetach Alav. That's the bracha that Moshe gives to Binyamin. Vid Chabrubo Yididim, Rokhavan Kaprafit Yididim, Elu Yisrael Dichtiv, Natati et Yididut Nafshi Bekotvoi Ve'am. Give me over my beloved in the hands of the enemy. Who's my beloved that I'm giving over in the hands of the enemy? That is Bnei Yisrael. So you go back to the pneumatic device, this is what it means. Yavo Yadid, Shlomach will come, Ben Yadid, a descendant of Avram Avinu, Vivne Yadid will build the base of Mikdash, Li Yadid, for Hashem, Bichelko Shel Yadid, in the Chelek of Binyamin, Vid Kaprubo Yididim, and will provide Kapara for Bnei Yisrael. And the last one that he brings is Yavo Tov, V'ikabel Tov. Actually, I'm sorry, there's one more after this. Yavo Tov, V'ikabel Tov, Mitov Litovim. Yavo Tov, who's Tov, Ze Moshe, Dichtiv, V'etero Toki Tovu. When he's born, they say that he was Tov. That's referring to Moshe. V'ikabel Tov, he'll accept the Tov, Zu Torah, Dichtiv, Ki Lekach Tov, Natati Lechem. I gave you a great gift, referring to the Torah. Mitov, who it come from? Who did it come from? Ze HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dichtiv, Tov Hashem Lakol. That Hashem is good to all. That's referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Latovim, who is that? Elu Yisrael Dichtiv, Hativ Hashem Latovim. Hashem is good to those that are good. Who is he referring to? He's referring to Bnei Yisrael. So the meaning of that will be Yavo Tov, Yavo Moshe Rabbeinu, Vikabel Tov, and receive the Torah, Mitov from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Litovim, on behalf of Bnei Yisrael. And now the last one, which is Yavo Zeh, Vikabel Zot, Mizeh L'Amzu. Yavo Zeh, Zeh Moshe Dichtiv, Ki Zeh Moshe Ha'ish. Zeh Moshe Ha'ish, referring to Moshe. Zeh, we see, refers to Moshe. Vikabel Zot, what Zot? Zutorah Dichtiv, Zot HaTorah, Asher Sam Moshe. Mizeh, who's Mizeh? From Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dichtiv, Zeh Keli, V'an Ve'hu, again from Az Yashir. La Amzu, on behalf of this nation, Eli Yisrael Shenemar Amzu Kanita, again from Az Yashir. So meaning again will be the same as the previous one, which is Yavo Zeh Moshe Rabbeinu, Yikabel Zot, and receive the Torah. Mizeh from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, La Amzu, on behalf of Klal Yisrael. So now the Gemara is going to go back in Darshan. They quoted that pasuk from Yirmiyahu as Meli Didi Beveiti. What is my beloved doing in my house? Amar Yitzchak. B'shorosh Shecharav Beit HaMikdash, Matzo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaAvram Sheyomei Beit HaMikdash. He came to destroy the Mikdash. He found Avram standing there. Amalo, what is my beloved doing in my house? Amalo, Aliskebanai, Bati. Okay, my children are being kicked out of the land, being destroyed. I'm here on behalf of my children. Amalo, Batem Banecha Chat'u Vigalu. Your children sinned and are going into Galut. Amalo, Shem Bishogei Chat'u. Maybe it was by accident. Amalo, Asuta Hamezimata. Now, again, this is the same pasuk in Yirmiyahu. It's a continuation of the pasuk that we read, Medi Lidi Beiti. Asuta Hamezimata. They did it intentionally. Zima. when the red zima, right, and mezid, they did it intentionally. So not shuge. Amalo shema mi'utan chatu. Maybe it wasn't all of them. Maybe it was just some of them. Amalo harabim, which is the next word in the pasuk. Harabim. Hayalachol iskor brit milah. You should have at least remembered the brit milah. Amalo ubasar kodesh yavru me'elayich. That basar kodesh they removed. I mean, they didn't do brit milah anymore. So they couldn't. The brit milah can't protect them because they weren't keeping the brit milah. Maybe if you had just given them a little more time, they would have done tshuva. They were becoming more and more evil. They were enjoying, they were rejoicing in evil. Somebody's rejoicing in evil, they're nowhere near doing tshuva, and they're not going to do tshuva, because they're every time they did more evil, it brought them more joy. That was their pleasure. Put his hands on his head, and he started crying out. Maybe there's no rectifying the situation at all. It's over. Yetzat bat kova amralo. They bring the next pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Zayit ranan yefit pri to'ar kara Hashem shemech. Hashem calls you Zayit ranan, the beautiful olive tree, the great fruit. That is how Hashem has described you. Ma zayit zu acherito b'sofo. Just like this zayit in the end is what makes it good. Afisro echitan b'sofan. So too b'nei so in the end, their things will work out for them. So Rashi explains over here, what does that mean? Zayit acherito b'sofo. He brings two interpretations. One is, that when you plant it now, it takes a very long time to grow an olive tree once you plant it, but in the end it brings lots of fruit. It has a great produce, it has a great production, but you have to wait. It takes time. That's one. Or the other one that he brings down is She'in mit bashel ma'at, ma'at. Kishari let it out. Its production doesn't come in stages, but rather all in one shot. All the olives come in one shot at the end. So do b'nei Yisrael in the end. I would have done this. The Gemara in many places talks about a zayit, that a zayit is actually bitter, and that only after it's bashel or worked on does it become soft and sweet and useful. So I would say the same thing here. That my zayit achrito b'sofo, that the end of the zayit is what's useful about it. When you press it, make it into oil, or you wait till it's softer, and it becomes sweet, that's when the olive is good. In the beginning, it's not so good. So that's how I would have maybe same type of idea, that in the end, things will work out. But now, it says, continue in the passage, so because of the sound, the voices of, say here, confusion, and doing bad, Hashem brought fire, and then all the bad is happening to those that are left over, those that are poor. Amar Rabbi Chanina bar Pabla, kol mileihem shemeraglim nitra'u daliyotehem shel Yisrael. Because of the words of the meraglim, the nitra'u daliyotehem shel Yisrael, then the destiny of Bnei Yisrael was ruined. Again, the Churban HaBayit is on the same day that the meraglim back the news of Tisha B'Av, and this is what caused Bnei Yisrael to be downtrodden. Amar Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, davar because they said when they came back that the nations that we went to seek, yichazaku mimenu, they are stronger than us. Altikra mimenu, I don't know how to read this exactly. It could be one is mimenu with a nun rufuya. Ella mimenu with a nun degusha. If you do that with a degation, it means mimenu the person. Who's that? It's referring to Kodesh Baruch Hu, that he can't say it. I think you could read it altikra mimenu eli menu. I would say mimenu, which would have been from him, rather than mimenu from us. But I saw also the explanation that it was nun rufuya and nun degusha. That's the other alternative. Alright, so either it's mimenu versus mimeno, or it's again, rifuya versus degusha, it would mean from him instead of from us. So those are the two possibilities over here. So Rav Chir bar Chanina, hai lekol hamula gedola, that's what, it shouldn't say hamula gedola, lekol mila mibayle, you're saying from the words that they said that should be the problem. El amalo akadosh baruch hu avram, kol chashamati v'chamalti aleihem, I heard your voice and I had rachamim aneim, ani amarti ishtabdu b'arba malchiyot, I said that they will go to Shibud under the four malchiyot, which refers to Paras, Yavan, Edom, and Bavel. Kol achat v'achat ki shi'ur arba malchiyot, each one of them, like the amount of arba malchiyot, or the better girsa is kishir machut Mitzrayim, like the time they were in Mitzrayim. Hashta kol chada v'chada mada pasikla. Now, each one of them will get what they were assigned, not like the amount that was given to Mitzrayim. V'igadamin, those that say, ani amarti b'zeh achar zeh, I said that it would happen sequentially, achshah b'vat achat. I'll send people to each of them. I'll send people to Bavel, I'll send people to Edom, I'll send people to Paras, and they'll at the simultaneously the galut will happen, and therefore they will accomplish the galut at the same time rather than have to be sequential. subsequently. So now Amar Rabbi Shub and Levi to finish off the Agadah. Laman Nimishul Yisrael a Zayit. Why are Bnei Yisrael compared to a Zayit? Lomar Lecha Ma Zayit Ein Alav No Shrim Lo Bim Lo Tachama Lo Bim Lo Takashimim. Just like the Zayit always has green, doesn't lose its leaves, not in the winter, not in the summer. Af Yisrael and Lam B'Teila Ulam Yit Lo Lam Azev Lo Maba. Bnei Yisrael are never taken away. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Laman Nimishul Yisrael a Zayit. Lomar Lecha Ma Zayit Ein Amotzi Shema No Eliyah Dekhtita. Just like the shemen only comes out of the olives once they're cut up and they're worked on. Af Yisrael and Chozvin Mutav Eliyah Deyisurim. So to Bnei Yisrael need a little push to get better and to do tshuva, they need to be worked on in order to get there. And what's how they worked on? Through the Yisurim. All right, just before I go on, I'm going to, in the top here is a very, very important Tosfos, which is that the Pashtei Dekra B'Yirmiyahu, the Pashtei Pshat in the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu is that Hayah Mitpalel B'Beit Mikdash Al Yisrael. That someone was davening, that Yirmiyahu was there in the Mikdash playing for Yisrael, and then he throws him out, he says, don't daven anymore, I don't want it. Because it says, V'Atal Titpalel B'Adam Azeh, they don't pray for this nation. And then writes it afterwards. So the Gemara learns that Yididi being Abraham, and in the context of the pasuk before, he says, don't daven. It sounds like means, what's this person doing here who's davening? And therefore it talks about Abraham. This is the amazing thing in Tosfos here. When we say in the Mila, Asher Kidesh Yedid Mi Beten, who is Kidesh Yedid Mi Beten? Omer Rabbeinu Otam, Da'ainu Avraham. Asher Kidesh Yedid Mi Beten, that's Avraham. Shenikra Yedid, Damrim Racha. V'kidshu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Min HaBetem, what does it mean that he was Kadosh Min HaBetem from the time he was born? Shedoresh V'midrash Shetiv Avraham Ki Yadativ. I already knew from the beginning, I knew that he was going to do the right thing. So that means that he's Kadosh Min HaBetem. Uchti B'Yirmiyahu B'Temerin Etzarech B'Betem Yedadicha. That before I created you, I knew you already. And that's referring to Avraham Avinu. Chok B'She'ero Sam. Who's that talking about? Zeh Yitzchak. Shekaro Yitzchak Ashlo Nolad. That's B'She'ero Sam. It is Chok B'She'ero Sam. There you can read as shame also. He's given his name, right? Given that, given his name in utero. That's Yitzchak Avinu. And V'Tzav Chatam Ba'ot B'rit Kodesh. The offspring were given Chatam Ba'ot B'rit Kodesh. Who are the offspring? Tzav referred to. Tzitzayim are the first generation. Tzitzav is the second generation. Our first day, Yaakov Avinu. Kedichtiv kol netzitzayim etzviot mentegaminim banayu bnei banaya. So that is referring to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's what we say in the Brit Milah. Asher Yigidish Mibenen, Chok Asher Osam. Tzitzav, Chatam, Ba'ot Brit Kodesh. Those are referring to the Shloshet Avot that are found in the Brocha. And then he says over here, Yesh Mefarshim Yidid Ze Yitzchak. She'er ze Yaakov b'tzetzav ilu ha-shvatim. That the son that explained that Yedid is Yitzchak, the She'er is Yaakov, and tzetzav are the shvatim that come after him. Tosus in Shabbos, in the Gemara in Shabbos, the Kuldam Zayin Obed, says that all four of them. It says that it refers to tzetzav, refers to Yaakov and the shvatim. The both of them. And he has Avraham Yitzchak and tzetzim. Rashi in the Gemara in Shabbos says that the entire thing refers to Yitzchak. The entire thing refers to Yitzchak because it is, Asher Kiddish Yedid mi beten. Who was already Kadosh min ha-beten? Then that's Yitzchak. Yitzchak is Kadosh min habet. That's why he can't leave Eretz Yisrael. Hashem promises Sarah that she's going to have a baby. He tells him what the name's going to be. That's Asher Yikidish Yedid mi beten. Ashchok Sam Sheiro. His name was given by a Kodesh Baruch Hu in Yuto. That's Yitzchak. V'tzitzav Chatam Ba'ot Brit Kodesh. His descendants, I mean his children, he's the first one who gets a Brit Milah when he's born at 8 days old. And all the generations that follow him will follow in his footsteps to get the Brit at 8 days old. So Rashi says the whole bracha refers to Yitzchak Avinu. Tosfos here it says it refers to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It brings an alternative pshat that refers to Yitzchak, Yaakov, and the Shvatim. And then in Shabbos, he combines the two of them and says it refers to Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and the Shvatim. And that's what we say in the bracha of the Mila. Now the Gemara goes back to discuss in the Mishnah where the leavening agent comes from. Rabbi Meir says that we leaven it, or we take the leavening agent from inside, it self rises, it causes itself to be mechametz. And then Rabbi Yehuda says we bring an external leavening agent, but we bring it from your house. The Gemara says, my chasero yutera. What is the problem with Rabbi Huda's suggestion that we place the leavening agent in from the outside, and now you're going to have a problem of it being either more or less? So Amar Rav Chisda, isata se'or ava. If the leavening agent is very dense, nimtzeit yutera midata yisaron, then we're going to have too much flour in there. We know that the measurement for a mincha is an isaron, and here, if you have a very dense piece of leavening agent, that's going to cause it that we're going to have more than an isaron's worth of solid. liquid. Raka, on the other hand, if it's less dense, it's very liquidy. Nimtzeit chasera. On the other hand, it'll be asera, because now you have a situation in which the leavening agent is very liquidy. It's taking up more space. It's not dense. And it's going to take away from the amount of kemach solet that you have there, and it'll be less than an iseron. What's this? Sof, ki kakayel, iseron kakayel. I don't understand what you're saying. We bring a iseron, the measuring cup of an iseron in the mikdash. You fill it up with flour and the leavening agent. Together, they equal up to an iseron. There's nothing to discuss over here. You have a full iseron over here. How could it be more or less when we're measuring into an iseron? So Rabbi Rav Yosef Tamrei Tavahu, they explain the problem here. L'kemot shehein haita misha'arinon. We measure it based on what the original flour content was. So now we can explain it. We have the flour that's now being put in, the solet that's being put in now. We have the leavening agent. The leavening agent was also created out of flour. But we measure how much flour or content of flour is in the leavening agent. That will have to add up to the iseron that's being used here. Well, it'll make a difference, the density of the leavening agent. If the leavening agent is very dense, it'll actually take up less space than the flour itself would have taken up. If that's the case, then you have too much flour here inside of the iseron. Because if I decompose the leavening agent back to its original parts of kemach, and I add it to what I have there, I'm going to have more than iseron worth of kemach. And the other way around, if I have it be very liquidy, and then that's the leavening agent taking up more space, if I condensed it again back to its original flour, it would take up much less space. That means now I'm missing from an iseron worth of flour. So Gemara says, well, we have a better suggestion. We have Rabbi Meir who thinks you have to do it from internally, which doesn't works so well in terms of leavening. We have Rabbi Yehuda says bring it from the outside, which we don't want because now we have this problem about actually getting the measurement. Let's do it this way. Lishko Purta. Go ahead. Now Rashi has two Lishonot here. I'll go with one explanation, then we'll come back and explain it the other way. Lishko Purta, take some of the flour, measure up to an iseron, take some of that flour, and then have that become the michametz, the leavening agent. Make the flour that you take off become the leavening agent, and then reintroduce it back into the original measured flour. Then you know for sure that you have an iseron worth of kemach, because whatever you took out was used for the leavening agent, and then you replaced it and put it back in. And that way you will be able to bring that leavening agent back in and cause it to leaven better than you would if you had done it internally. Bring it back, then you'll knead it together. So when it says, no, gzeira dilma atele tu me alma. We're worried that people are going to see him doing this, and they're going to think that he brought the leavening agent from the outside. They don't know that originally he took it off of this flour, made it into a leavening agent, and then put it in. People are just going to see him bringing a leavening agent from the outside and putting it into the dough that he's making now. They won't understand that that came originally from this flour, iseron worth, and not from the outside. That's one explanation. There's an alternative explanation which Tosva says, Lashon Sheni Bekuntra Suikar. It's also the explanation of the Rabbeinu Gershom, which is, why don't you take off, after you have the leavening agent here, take off some flour from the iseron. And you brought this leavening agent from the outside, and now you want to know how much flour was inside of this leavening agent. What you want to do is take some of the flour out of the iseron that you measured, and then recreate, simulate the leavening agent that you have here. If you see it's dense, make it as a dense type of leavening agent. If it's liquidy, make the same liquidy operation or leavening agent. If you do that, then you will have a situation in which you'll know how much solet to remove from the iseron when you put in the leavening agent. So you'll have an outside leavening agent, you'll put it in, but then you need to know how much solet to remove from the iseron. What you do is you'll take out solet and you'll make it into a leavening agent. By doing that and creating a similar type of leavening agent as to what you're placing in, by doing that, you'll know how much to remove. You'll know how much kemach was there originally. Seems to be a little more difficult to me to do such a thing. Obviously, the problem with doing it the other way, or the first way Rashi explains, is that you put the iseron in, it goes into a klisharet of iseron, it's already kadosh. That means you only have one day to make it into a leavening agent if you take the flour off. So the only way to do that, where you take it out of the original flour that's measured in iseron, it's to measure in iseron that's not kodesh, that's not a klisharet. So you don't have a problem with psulina, and therefore you have time to create the leavening agent. The way we have it here is that they bring the leavening agent from the outside, they just need to measure how much flour is in it. They use the internal solet to simulate, to recreate that leavening agent to see how much flour was used and how much to take out when you put the leavening agent in. The same zero applies. The problem is that people see you bring the leavening agent from the outside and they're not going to understand why you're taking out flour from here, that you're making a comparison. They won't understand all that. They just think that you can bring things from the outside and place them into the iseron. Okay, we'll stop over here.